What is going down, everyone? It's time for MojoBreak.com, The Hype. This is episode 229. We got a lot of stuff. We got the Topps Industry Conference that just went down in Arizona. We actually did an interview with the Josh Luber, so check back on Mojo Break Media for that interview. There was a lot of insight. There was some breaking news with Mr. Luber. We had a lot of fun with him down in Phoenix, and he opened some packs of some random cards. So it's a break room session that'll be added to Mojo Break Media, so look forward to that. We're going to talk John Morant. Had some amazing plays. We're going to compare his Prism Silvers amongst some of the other NBA guys that have been selling well, and MLB lockout. It's a bummer, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to kick things off here with a hockey segment with Emily. We're going to talk Series 1 hockey, Young Guns, and get excited for that flagship release, so we're going to kick you on over to that. All right, guys, it's time for Hockey Upper Deck Series 1, 21-22 releases today, actually. We're going to be doing some breaks here at MojoBreak.com this Friday, and we're excited. We've been waiting for hockey for a very long time. New crop of Young Guns, lots of new inserts that they brought to the table, including Hundo P, which we'll talk about. But, Emily, what are you most excited about for Upper Deck Series 1?
Yeah, you know, there's so many names that are coming out of here, which are really exciting in the Young Guns and the base set that we have. But Young Guns, I mean, you have to talk about Cole Caulfield, first of all.
Yeah.
He's one that everyone was excited to see. Obviously, the Montreal Canadiens have not had the best year, but he has had a decent season, I would say. If you look at his stats, I'm going to pull that up, but obviously the Canadiens, since they got Martin St. Louis as their interim head coach, has been doing really well. So he's one.
And he's in the coveted 201 spot, guys. So for Young Guns, for you guys that don't collect hockey, you get 6 Young Guns in a hobby box. A case will yield 72 Young Guns. And that is comparable to the Prism, you know, rookies, the Wander Franco from the Series 1 baseball. This is the hockey rookie you want. You can look back, and the reason I mentioned the coveted 201 is because you have Sidney Crosby's 201. You have Connor McDavid, who's 201. So Jack Hughes, who's 201. So Caulfield gets the 201 over Zegras, and it was probably planned out right after that that playoff run last year, you know, where it was his name we were talking about.
Right, and he's doing a lot better. Like I said, I know the Canadiens did not have the best start, but Cole Caulfield is starting to come up. You mentioned Trevor Zegras. His card, I think, is always going to be one that people are going to want. He's making such a splash in the league right now. Everyone's talking about him. You have the NHL accounts tweeting about him, although the Ducks are, we'll see if they make the playoffs or not, but Trevor Zegras is going to be somebody that is going to make moves in the league for years to come. So that's definitely one you're going to want to look out for sure.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Upper Deck hockey is only available in hobby shops that are approved and also group breakers who are approved. So they don't make quite as much of it compared to baseball. So, you know, it usually holds a really good value. And, you know, the Ducks is going to be Zegras, and Canadians are going to be Caulfield. So those are going to be the guys that initially, if you're new to hockey, those are the teams. If you're in a random or if you're buying a PYT, those are definitely going to be the teams that you want to get. And obviously your Oilers with your McDavid cards and your McDavid inserts are going to be, you know, ones that you're going to want to try to chase as well. So, Dan, what are you most excited about Series 1 hockey?
You know, I'm always excited about new crop of rookies and names that I can destroy because I don't know how to pronounce them. But you're also the high gloss.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that.
The UD exclusive parallels, which like hold a substantial premium almost for like anybody who you get out of the set. But if you get a Young Guns that is a like a high gloss number to 10 or a UD exclusive number to 100,
yeah,
through the roof.
I was going to mention that. Yeah, you get those guys the number to 10. So I mean, it would be interesting to follow those on eBay, what they're going to go for initially for the big names.
This is a set builder set. It's not a set if you're looking to pull autographs. So you're going to see like maybe 1 to 2 autographs in a case. So yeah, what you're really going for are the Young Guns.
Yep. And building the set, you're going to have, you know, Series 2 and then Extended Series coming out for your veteran base sets and more rookies coming involved. But do we think more people are going to collect Zegras now? Or I mean, are we going to still got enough hype for Caulfield?
I think it's safe to say he's probably going to be the Calder. Is it Calder?
Uh-huh.
The Calder,
that's
Calder
rookie.
Trophy? How about that? Look at that knowledge for rookie
you
of the
sure
year.
Of it, though. You could have.
You know, I know it's not the Vezina. Do you know which one that is?
The MVP, right?
The Vezina?
No. That's a goalie?
No. Yeah.
Fasnacht's goalie. MVP's Hart.
What's up? Ooh, the Hart.
Yeah. But the young guns are interesting. I mean, you have on here also Jeremy Swayman, who we talked about it when we did our hockey segment on how goaltenders a lot of times are considered rookies a lot longer than your skaters, because goaltenders typically don't play the same amount of games that your, or never play the same amount of games usually that your skaters go. But Jeremy Swayman was just named the NHL rookie for the month of February. He's crushing it for the Boston Bruins after coming back up from the Providence Bruins since Tuukka Rask, you know, retired this season. So there's guys like that that are really exciting as well, that are big names that could be franchise players for your teams that you're seeing. So yeah, there's a lot of excitement in this one. There's a lot of names that you can kind of look out for. So
now I know you did a two hockey breaks on Monday.
Yes,
we did some 1920 ingrained and some 2021 SP game use. What was your favorite card that you pulled out of those?
My favorite card had to be the Corey Perry one from the All-Star game when he was with the Dallas Stars, and the game was at the Cotton Bowl, I think it was in Dallas, right?
I think so.
Check me on that. Yeah. I think that's right. But the card had part of the net in it, like as I guess like a relic.
Yeah, like the net cord. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, which was super cool. And it's just so funny because that game, if anybody watched that game and remembers, Corey Perry, I think, played about 2 minutes of the game and then he was ejected. And it was that like walk of shame, they call it, where like to get to the locker room from the rink was like this extremely long walk. So he's like being kicked out and the cameras are on him and he's like in full gear, like walking just like down this random like path that they created, like to get to the locker room. It's so funny. So, and Corey Perry, obviously, he's one of my favorite players in the league. We share the same birthday, if anyone is wondering about that. We're birthday buddies. So yeah, that was probably my favorite card that I pulled.
Yeah, I share the birthday with Kane Velasquez, by the way, which is in the news recently. So I don't think this is the last time I'll admit that now. Hopefully it gets, you know, wasn't true. But
and who else? Oh, Jacoby Shattuck.
From Papa Roach, yeah. But actually, Kane Velasquez is the same year as me. So I don't know if that's a birthday buddy times two or something when it's the same.
That's a good deal.
Same year. But yeah, that's really cool. I mean, back into Series 1, 21-22 Series 1. So one of the new subsets is electromagnetic, which you got to see the picture. It's phenomenal. It kind of reminds me of that Flawless design where it has multiple players, has multiple colors. But they're also doing a subset that I just alluded to at the beginning called Hundo P. It's going to be players that give it 100%.
All the time.
So are we running out of subset names, Dan? What do we think? Hundo P.
Do you want to be known as a player who doesn't give it 100%?
Well, why wouldn't you just call it 100%?
I think every player would be like, well, where's my card?
No, I'm fine with that. But yeah, I see what you're saying there. But why call it Hundo P?
Do we know who's on this list?
It does not say. Let me see if I can find out who's on that checklist.
Because that's going to be interesting.
It's not going to be Evander Kane, I don't think.
I was going to say, I'm like, Evander Kane is card number one in that subset.
Gives it 100%. I'm going Andrew Cogliano. Definitely on that list for me.
Burnsy too, right? You got to put Burnsy on there, maybe.
Yeah. I'm going to say Marc-Andre Fleury. He's going to be on that list for me. 100%. And depends. What kind of 100% are you talking about? Like, are you talking about somebody that every shift they're going as hard as they can? Or are you talking about somebody that is like a Brad Marchand who plays his role 100%?
I found it.
Like, where are we going?
Connor McDavid.
Okay.
Zach Parise, Braden Point, Brent Burns.
Ooh. Wow. Sean, called it.
See, I had a crystal ball there. Alex Petriangelo, Milan Lucic, Brady Tkachuk, Sidney Crosby, Anze Kopitar. There's 25 guys on the list. Joe Pavelski?
I
was going to say Joe Pavelski.
That list is all over the place, though, because you've got guys like Sidney Crosby who are, you know, your top guys in the league, the best in the league, right? But then you have guys like Milan Lucic who he's not scoring the same rate that Crosby's scoring, but he also is somebody who every time he's on the ice, he uses his body. He knows how to play his role. So is that what we're talking about? I don't know. I need some more explanation on this Hundo P situation.
And then, you know, I'm looking at some other insert sets that they have, which is really cool. So they have the day with the cup, which is, you know, they have the guy. Each player gets to spend a day with the cup and they take a picture.
Sharks don't have that. They're not in that subset.
No.
Not yet. But that's the magic word is yet. Everyone,
we have a day with the cup flashbacks, and they're one in 2,880 hobby packs, so very hard to hit. And we have Wayne Gretzky, Guy Lafleur, Terry Sawchuk, Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito. That's going to be pretty cool.
Amazing.
To see them, you know, back in that time with
that's
the Day
really
with the Cup.
Cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So
I
hopefully
like
we see some of those when we pull them on Friday. We'll be breaking some Series 1 hockey on Friday. So yes, check that out. Mojobreak.com for your breaks. And if you want to get a box yourself, you have to come in the store. We can't sell it online. So you have to come in our store here in Santa Clara and get yourself a box of Series 1. All right, guys, we're back. And the giveaway this week will be, what is your favorite hockey card of all time, either in your collection or something that you've always wanted, whether or not you have one or not in your PC? So go ahead and comment on the Mojo Break Media video here below in the comment section, and a winner will be named, and we'll be giving away a box of Series 1 2020 or 21-22 Series 1 hockey. We'll be giving away that, and you can chase Trevor Zegras, Cole Caulfield, those flashbacks we were just talking about. So put your comment below, and I think we're going to name a winner from last week. Was SB is going to win the gift card. So SB, hit us up if you want to put that in an In-N-Out Burger gift card. We can do that as well. But
I don't know, Five Guys, maybe.
Five Guys burgers and fries.
Want to step it up from In-N-Out Burger, you can go Five Guys.
Any new food you've been dabbling into, C-Rad, lately? Any new joints, any fast food joints that you
dude, he's on that pizza kick, man.
Oh yeah,
pizza review.
I'm heavy in the issue is that I'm on a pizza kick, and I've been watching those one bite pizza reviews. But honestly, there's not too many places I can try around here, right? I've tried a few different places that I've never tried before, and it's still like I don't feel the same. I don't feel the same as when me and Dan went to New York and tried actual New York pizza. You know what I mean? Because these one-bite reviews, honestly, like, there are a couple of spots in SoCal that apparently are really good. But, you know, we don't live in SoCal, so I can't just take a trip right down there every day and just try out some pizza.
We're talking about pizza. I'm going to talk about pizza here.
Okay.
I'm going to tie it into the.
Let us know how you feel.
I'm going to tie it into the industry conference. So we basically had pizza at the industry conference. It was a little food court.
Okay.
Didn't look like it was going to be all that bad.
One bite, you know the rules.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we get it. I'm going to score it. I'll let Doug score it as well. But it was like, it was a 1-7.
1-7.
Historically, probably the worst pizza I've ever had in my life.
Let me give you a comparison to 1-7.
Now, it literally, Little Caesar's is better. It tasted like it was cooked 15 times. You know how you microwave a piece of pizza?
Yes.
Like, imagine if you did that like 15 times over and over and over.
A 1-7. I'll tell you right now, this would be a good comparison to everybody just listening on the podcast and watching. One bite pizza review, he gave a Hot Pocket pizza 1-7. So if you want to know what a 1-7 tastes like, wow, he said the Hot Pocket is a 1-7.
I would have to score it lower than that, because I'd actually probably rather have the Hot Pocket.
Dude, the Hot Pocket, like,
Celeste pizza is probably a 3
then off,
for me.
Dude.
Yeah, oh,
like
I know.
The inner,
can't
like,
wait,
oh man, dude,
terrible.
out of the microwave, yeah, just burn your face off.
Or a pizza roll. Like a pizza roll.
Oh, dude.
Those are always
You try to wait, and then it's like, and then isn't that the worst thing when you burn your mouth, and then you're just, the roof of your mouth for like a week is just, oh, it's terrible.
But I get it. As a kid, those are great snacks. Like, I can't, as a kid, I loved pizza rolls, Hot Pockets, and
I would go,
pizza bites.
The Hot Pocket, I would actually go above the pizza that we had as well.
Okay.
I mean, it was
okay.
Like, I almost want to go back again just to try it and be like, how bad
really
was it?
It was bad.
It was bad. And like, the funny thing is that we were pretty hungry. So,
oh damn.
Like, not only we were starving, had it should have raised the score up, but it didn't.
No. And I regret getting two slices.
It was a bad pie. It was a bad pie. Maybe we should have got a full pie. Like a fresh full pie, but they basically only had slices, so.
Damn, before we move on real quick, let me give you guys something that you'll appreciate. So I took my daughters and my family to a late Valentine's dinner, and we went to Maestro's, home of the, what is it, butter cake?
Butter cake. Yeah. Did you get it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's so good.
Which one did you go to, the San Francisco?
Yeah.
Dude. I haven't been to that one, but, yeah, really good service there. Did you guys get the seafood tower?
No, we didn't. Seafood I'm like really the only seafood guy in my family, so unfortunately, it's only when we go out, you know.
It's a little much.
But the butter cake, yeah, is, might be one of the best desserts out there.
It is, I mean, it's a little rich. You can only have, I mean, you wouldn't be able to have like multiple butter cakes.
Yeah.
See, I'm a sweet, like I like frosting, and I'll ask for pieces of cake that have like the corner for the frosting. So it's not never too rich to me. Rich to me is when it's too much chocolate. You know what I mean? So that was perfect. I could add multiple pieces.
Ooh, multiple
pieces.
Next time you go to Mastro's, you're just going in. You're like, start me with a couple butter cakes.
Just bring my steak and my butter cake out at the same time.
Steak,
I might dip my cake and my steak in my butter cake. I mean, might do something crazy.
A little lemon twist martini.
Yeah, bottomless, bottomless. So Topps Industry Conference was this weekend, and it was the first time that Fanatics had been kind of had a presence there. As we said, Josh Luber was there. Some of the big COO was there as well, talking to people, getting some ideas of what they were going to do. Still pretty much a Topps event. I mean, all the same faces were there running the show that have done the show for the last 3 or 4 years. And there wasn't really any huge announcements, but there was some changes in some products. I think the one that really stuck out at me is that they have the overtime league license for the NBA, which is well, not the NBA, but it's a
development league.
Yeah, it's a development league, kind of like a G League kind of type situation, where if a player doesn't want to go to college, they can go play in that league and then be entered into the draft. So they're going to be making a Topps Chrome overtime league product, which these guys will have rookie card logos on the Topps Chrome. Obviously, the Super Fractor is going to be in there as well, and it's kind of like exciting in a sense because it's going to be Topps Chrome basketball again, and maybe it's going to be a preview of what's to come if once the license falls into the hands of Fanatics, and that's what they're going to do. Possibly, I mean, I'm sure they're going to do it, but you're dealing with I think 24 to 25 guys in the league right now. A few of them are slated to be first rounders, but my question, I'll start with C-Rad here, is can there be any legs with this product? Because essentially it's like a Bowman version of an NBA product, right? So say there was a Ja Morant type of guy in there, how coveted do we think these cards are going to be, being as that they're first autos?
Yeah, I think we're finally seeing the situation that we talked about for a while now, the situation where, you know, and I don't know if Topps saw this coming, like with the whole Fanatics deal or whatever, but it's like it's almost like they knew, because they're kind of previewing like what they intend to do, right? By giving us a Bowman type product here, and then, you know, still coming out with their standard regular Topps Chrome, I'm assuming. I think it could definitely have legs, especially with Fanatics, like you said, taking over the license. I can see them. They're trying to test the waters, obviously. They want to see if the basketball market will take to a product that, you know, could be considered a guy's first Bowman or whatever, right? In basketball terms.
Yeah, and from what I understand, the games are not live, but you can watch them, I think, immediately after on YouTube, and they have clips, and they're very social media-oriented. The company, the Overtime as the company, which I believe are based out of Atlanta, because I think 2 Chainz goes to a lot of the games, so they have card, like, Topps Now cards of, like, 2 Chainz and some other guys that come to the Atlanta area. I guess they just, for me, I think they just, like, a guy needs to play well. Like, if nobody plays well and nobody gets drafted in that league, then there's no demand, right?
I think if you have that one player who goes to that league, pops, ends up being, like, a top 3 pick, and then out of the gate, they're, you know, one of the better players on their team, I think the hype will follow with this product. Like, you can build onto it the next year because people are going to be looking for the next player to pop out of there.
Yeah.
So I think I don't know if it's going to really be technically like that type of Bowman prospecting, because those players are already
on teams,
either drafted or like signed as like high, like top 3 agents out of an international prospect or something like that. So, and they're already on teams. But there will be a market for this. And I think it could very well compete with like some of the Leaf NIL stuff. It can actually compete with some of the Panini collegiate stuff that comes out after the player gets drafted. But again, if you have that one player that pops, I think the hype will build onto it in the coming years with that product.
Cody, what are your thoughts on a product that, you know, is going to be prospect oriented for a league that's kind of in its infancy?
I think it's interesting. It's definitely a way to get your foot in the door. And, like, we're going to be talking about that league, at least in the hobby, more than, you know, probably some of the other leagues. I think this whole approach for Bowman, where they're doing what, like the Bowman University
line
that they're doing,
yeah.
the NIL stuff, the college football stuff, which I think is even the, maybe the most intriguing, seeing sort of a mock-up of the Bryce Young first Bowman. I wonder, in a couple years' time, especially when football does come back under the Topps umbrella, as we think it's going to, collecting that first Bowman over, say, the Panini, a Prism draft picks or Contenders draft picks, I'm going to say I think eventually that it's going to – obviously their thinking is this is going to be what baseball is. We're going to – like we're setting it up now so that when the NFL is here, we're all under the same umbrella, that Bowman pick is that Bowman card is going to be treated like a first Bowman from baseball. I don't think it'll ever reach quite that level that baseball has, but seeing some of the mock-ups and stuff and seeing the strategy of kind of going after smaller basketball leagues, yeah, I think it's interesting, and it's definitely going to be, you know, people want new stuff. We saw it last year. People
we
want
do.
New
it,
stuff,
it,
and they're going to flock to it.
It does speak to the ADD in the hobby, I think. You know, my get-off-my-lawn moment on this is that I think it's like what we talked about with Luber, which a little preview of what's to come on that is that, you know, that you're adding too many parallels overall, right? So this is, in a sense, maybe not necessarily too many parallels, but now you got a guy like maybe he was in, let's use football as example. They've got his first year NIL card with whoever, and then he got his second year NIL card, and then you have his collegiate draft card, and then you've got his license card, and it's like, where do collectors go? And if you're new in collecting, are you going to get duped by buying the Bowman University one because it's cheaper, not realizing that, hey, that's not going to maybe have – I mean, all these questions will be answered once it happens, but I just feel like it's just too much going on for me. But I understand the process because I understand that Topps – you know, this is a way for them to try things out before they get ready for the, you know, the licensed versions of these. But – it's just a lot going on for me.
I think the industry has kind of matured in the last, like, 3-4 years, though, because we, as a whole, we're not very accepting to, like, new SKUs, new leagues, anything like that. We're just like, we don't want to deal with it. We don't need F1. We don't need MLS. We don't need, like, all these, like, the entertainment stuff. We don't need all this stuff. It doesn't do well in my shop or something like that. You know what you
yeah.
hear. I think now we're a lot more accepting of new categories and new lines because we've seen them perform.
You know, a good thing to possibly compare it to, and I wish I would have thought about this before we started the show, is those Luka Upper Deck cards when he was on Slovenia or whatever, mm-hmm. and they had that whole set centered around him, basically, because I don't think anybody else came out of that set who was anything. So he had autos, I think, prior to the 18-19 season that were part of the Upper Deck. Can't remember the name of the league, but, you know, so that's kind of similar to this situation where, you know, see what those go for originally compared to what they go for now that we've had Luke out for, you know, 4 or 5 years now. So,
you could say Jalen Green, right? He had a Goodwin Champions card and he wasn't drafted.
Right.
So you can go back and those were doing really well at one point.
I guess you just got to temper your expectations. Like, I bought a Luka shirt from Luka's company, and I got a Luka signed 5x7 card. Well, it's that Luka 5x7 card sold for $30 if I wanted. I didn't sell it, compared to a Luka Prism Auto that's like $5,000 or $6,000, right? So I think customers need to know that, you know, when it's all said and done, the brand does mean something too. Like, the Prism Auto of the guy that was in the overtime league is going to sell for more than his overtime league card if he gets drafted and he's good, right?
So, yeah.
But we'll see. Maybe somebody takes to these cards and they're, you know, I think 101s are still going to be 101s, right? If it's a 101, it's still going to have value to it.
But it also is the first Chrome basketball, your Chrome release that you're going to see with Topps' name on it.
Yeah.
Since what? I don't even, it was, they didn't even do 0910. They had 0910 Chrome cards, but they were in the flagship. I don't think mm-hmm. they had a standalone product. So maybe 08, 09, 07, I mean,
right.
Yeah, who I don't recall when the last Chrome release was. So, like, you got to figure that is going to get people excited just to see a basketball Topps Chrome card.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that's going to be a good thing. And then they also announced multiple Transcendent Style products. MILB Dynasty. So we're going to get Minor League Dynasty. And I wonder what price point that's going to be at. And who do they decide? I mean, because that's real tricky if you're just doing a one-card product. And it's just a guy that's in single. I mean, obviously you got your Julio Rodriguez's and your Wander Franco's.
Jason Dominguez.
But how deep can you have a checklist in Dynasty? And I mean, I don't know if they announced the price point on it yet. I got to think it's got to be a little bit cheaper than the MLB version. But, I mean, I think it's a cool idea. But is there going to be enough legs underneath it?
Probably going to be north of $300, right?
To get Samuel Coonrad or something like that, you know what I mean? Like, you're gonna have to open it up to a bigger scale of prospects other than just the top 100, I would think, right?
So I believe you probably keep it at that top. I don't even think you go. I think it's gonna be probably a short
like
print, a short print run of like 20 guys. I think you're probably gonna see some like the top 25 from Baseball America. Well, that wouldn't be good either because you would probably miss the Jason Dominguez. I don't think Jason Dominguez is in the top 25. So Topps knows what they're doing. They know who the collectors are chasing. So it should be like Adley Rutschman, Bobby Witt, like Leiter maybe, who just got drafted. You know, well, we can name. I mean, we know. The prospect that everybody's collecting. Is it Luis Rodriguez? Is another one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be a huge checklist. I don't think it's going to be like the major league checklist for Dynasty.
Right. Yeah, it'll be. And you know, there's rumors, nothing confirmed by Topps, but just rumors around the industry. And we brought this up on the podcast before, but maybe this is a way because we don't know how they can still use the Bowman name. There's a lot of unsureness now that the sale has happened and the Fanatics has taken over because with the Players Association license and now them getting profit sharing, you can't use somebody who's not in Major League Baseball yet with the logo of the team. So maybe this is a throw at the wall and see if it sticks so that we can do an MILB set. I don't know.
But couldn't you get like Minor League Baseball like license?
I think you could, but that's not what Bowman's been about.
Yeah.
So like I said, I don't know if that's for sure.
True, because then it would be Bowman, but it would be like a Bowman version of like Pro Debut.
Right.
So
and I think that's why they make those products, because I think they're very particular on the Bowman brand, but when we do with the Minor League Heritage and stuff like that, then you don't see any team names on it, right?
So, well, you see team names, but you see
the Mudhens,
the minor league affiliate team names.
So, I guess you would have to do it that way for Bowman, which would be really terrible for group breaks,
tough.
You know. Or, you know, if this is true about the grandfathering, because I believe they grandfathered in the Bowman to be able to use the logos based on the fact that Topps owned it for so long and it was a law that had changed in the middle of everything and they were able, you know, like a standard law where you know, buy a house and you've owned it for so long your taxes don't change, kind of like that. But when it changes hands, then the taxes change.
I think what that would do, though, is when the player gets called up and they have their true rookie, it would add substantial value to that true rookie.
Correct. And it would be more like
and
the
you
other
wouldn't,
sports.
We wouldn't have that. I think we had this conversation a week or two ago when we were talking about first chrome cards as opposed to rookie cards and which one do you want to collect. That argument wouldn't exist anymore because these players won't have a first Bowman.
Sure.
The card that you're going to collect is going to be their true rookie card and you're gonna have to wait longer.
Yep. So they also announced some Topps Chrome Cosmic and Bowman Chrome Under 21 Soccer as well. So we'll be waiting to see some images on that to let you guys know on that. And I'm sure there's some more info on Twitter as well. But speaking of the basketball brand, C-Rad, what would you think would be, other than Topps Chrome, what Topps current brand you think would translate over to basketball pretty well, design-wise?
Inception.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What would be Origins?
I mean the obvious one,
because you know what they're coming out with, the OTE.
Oh yeah, they have Inception OTE.
It's Inception OTE.
Interesting.
Do they think the same way as you?
Yeah. I mean, the obvious
Conrad's,
one for me.
Conrad's locked in, dude. He gets it.
The obvious one for me would be the high end stuff, right? Like I would love to see. You know, you guys know my favorite baseball product, Definitive. I would love to see a basketball version of that product, yeah. right? Or even Diamond Icons. I know that's everybody's favorite as well. But yeah, other than that, Inception, I'm trying to think of one of the top designs I really love. I mean, they kind of...
I mean, finest, right?
I kind of group, like, the way I think about the Topps line is, like, I kind of group all those, like, refractor products together, right? Like, finest, best, Bowman, chrome. For me, those are great designs every year, usually pretty good designs on all those products across the line. So, yeah, I think for me, I'm most excited about the high-end stuff. But Inception will probably work, obviously, really well with basketball.
I think that'll translate well. Cody, any thoughts on what design? I know you're a big Finest fan. Is there any other designs that you think from baseball that would translate really well into when they start making basketball cards?
I think Finest is like the obvious choice. If they can do something similar to what they had last year with the throwback Finest with basketball, I think that would like sell like crazy. Yeah. People will be all over that. Yeah, I think that to me is like the slam dunk, no pun intended, obvious choice for basketball collectors.
And another little teaser, we asked Luber a possible future of Michael Jordan cards. So we asked him that question. So stay tuned for that on the next podcast as well, on the next next break room session with Josh Luber. But I'll kick it back over to Cody about the MLB lockout. Manfred, not well-liked these days. I think there's some clown shirts coming out by Dallas Braden. How do you think, I mean... I'll actually drop some knowledge from the event before I transition into you, that there was a question asked at the event about baseball cards, Series 1. Top said they feel like they did not make enough Series yep. 1. So I remember we had a show saying, there's too much Series 1. They're like, we didn't make enough. And you could see it. We don't have it. Other stores are looking for it. So if you take that and said, how will MLB, it hasn't affected it yet, but I think at some point it's got to affect the hobby. And what are your thoughts on that?
I think you're going to see it affect the hobby in the singles market for sure. I'd say right now, if you're like thinking about, oh, maybe I should buy something, maybe I should invest before the season starts, feels like a good time now. I can't, because one, I don't know how long this goes. I was optimistic and thought, by March, this will be done. We'll be done. It'll be fine. And now I would be happy if there's baseball before Memorial Day at this point.
They already canceled the first two series, right?
That's right. Yeah. First two series have been canceled. Yeah.
So no matter how we spin it, we're not getting 162 games this year.
No, they will not get 162. But yeah, I don't think you're going to see, because I think there's still such a locked in market as we've seen for Series 1 especially. But as time goes by here and there's going to be more new releases and there's still no baseball, I do wonder if the momentum starts to sputter, or is there going to be the opposite effect where people are just need anything baseball to satiate their craving. And maybe the opposite happens. But I think if there's anything that's going to suffer, it's the singles market where those cards, especially guys who maybe were expected to make that leap to the majors this year, guys like Adley Rutschman, Julio Rodriguez, some of the guys we mentioned, their values could take a big hit if you've been holding on to those guys for a while.
Yeah, I think if anything, the ADD will really kick in. I mean, we'll get really some legs on each release, right? Finest, Heritage. But I don't think you won't have maybe as much long-term with all those releases and those singles if it continues to play out the way that it's playing out. What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, again, reiterating what Cody was talking about, I was optimistic it was going to get taken care of this weekend. And then when they extended it to Tuesday, I'm like, okay, they are close. I'm like, they are close. They are basically crossing the T's, dotting the I's, and we're going to get a huge announcement and we're going to be good to go and we're going to have baseball. Now I'm like, where I've already taken some games away. I'm like, the All-Star break will probably be next. That'll probably be the next thing that they pull away, which who has the All-Star game?
It's the Dodgers.
And
would be the second time.
They don't get it again, which sucks for the city of LA, because it does. I mean, the game,
they had it in 94,
something like that.
The game may not be amazing, but it does draw attention. It does draw fans of the game. You know, restaurants and bars do really well, you know, leading up to it. So it'll be a substantial hit for the city. I think that's why Atlanta was so bummed, because, you know, you're messing with the city's economy.
Well, I didn't even think about that. You're actually looking at all the 30 cities. I mean, how many of the restaurants around the ballparks
that,
you know, that have been hit with
that for 2 years,
right,
have been having a little bit of a struggle. We've had something that we've been dealing with, and I'm not going to say it because, again, we don't want to get blocked, but like, they're still trying to recover from that. And there's a lot of restaurants and bars right down where the Giants play that they're banking on a full baseball season. With the Giants coming off 108 wins, they're expecting a little boost in some revenue there.
That goes through,
you know, 30 major cities across the country.
And that's, to me, the thing that's, you know, to get real here, but like, it's true.
Let's get
like
real.
The people who are going to be hurt the most are, like you said, the people who have the restaurants around, but then the people who work in the ballpark.
Absolutely.
Yes. Those are the people who are really going to be hurting the most here. And here's the thing too. It's not, and this isn't like a both sides thing, because it's clear there's one side who's far more at fault here. It's the ones who put the lockout in place. The owners, who they could lift the lockout right now, and we could just renegotiate a CBA while baseball's happening. This doesn't need to be happening. Like,
players just want to play baseball.
Exactly. They want to play baseball, and I don't know. And at the same time, it's like, I didn't drop a grand on playoff tickets last year to watch Larry Bear take on Stan Kasten. I spent that money to watch Walker Buehler take on Chris Bryant, okay? Yep. That's who we need. Like, just get it clear.
Yeah,
if you're on the fence about, like, man, this sucks, why can't they all just figure it out? Remember why you watch the game. You're not watching it to watch Hal Steinbrenner.
All right, let's go. Let's go worst case scenario now. It's 94 all over again. We lose a full season.
Ooh.
Okay, and this is doom and gloom.
But 94, at least we had a half a season.
We had a half a season, but okay. Let's say that, but we didn't have a World Series. We had no champ. We had no World Series champion. And you want to talk about a season that hurt real bad to like just cut it off. I mean, you had Matt Williams that was going after Maris's record. I think you had Frank Thomas, who was going after the all-time doubles like record.
Tony Gwynn was batting 400.
Tony Gwynn was batting 400.
Yeah.
The Montreal Expos were going to win their division.
They were going to win a World Series.
They're probably going to win a World Series. What happens if we lose baseball for a full season? Can this sport bounce back? And how does it bounce back?
I think we'll lose the Dodgers, Dan.
The Dodgers are – that's it. I'm not a Dodger fan.
One could hope it would be a positive.
I mean, I do love L.A.
Situation.
I do love L.A.
Hey, maybe the A's will stay in Oakland.
They're for sure staying in Oakland.
But baseball is – it's sliding down the ranks of the most popular sports in the country, America's pastime. Can it stay America's pastime if we lose another full season?
It already isn't. Baseball is my favorite sport. Football is the American pastime now. It's done. That's over. Baseball will become hockey.
Baseball's America's past.
Yes.
Now,
if we lose a season, we come back and we go back to juiced baseballs and everybody's hitting, you know, 70 home runs. Do they go back and they're like, well, it worked in 96 or whatever, when we had Sosa and McGuire and they were battling for the home run champion? Are we going to go back to doing that?
But
are
it's
we
just going to...
No, we're going to start allowing fights. Nobody gets thrown out.
MLB Slugfest style, if you guys remember that video game.
Basketball rules.
Yeah. No, I don't think that happens, because what's going to happen is 10, 15 years down the road, it's going to be the same scenario we just went through with Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and all that. Like, you have... It's just like the perfect storm of baseball is... Absolutely, just shooting themselves in the foot.
They need to get out of the owners need to get out of their own way.
Yes,
like if you're so unhappy with owning a baseball franchise, sell it. Get out. Go do something else.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You hear the whole like, oh, owning a baseball team isn't profitable. Give me a break. Know, get out of here with that. Again, I saw how much I spent for parking last year. Don't tell me you're not profitable. Yeah, it's going to be what I said, baseball will become hockey, at least when in America. What hockey really became after that second strike in the early 2000s.
And hockey
it hasn't recovered here.
Hockey is not recovered.
No. Not
hockey,
in America.
Hockey is, I mean, I think they jockey back and forth with the MLS for that, like, fifth spot in popularity.
Yeah. If this continues, if baseball actually loses a season, there is no longer a big three in professional American professional
there's
sports.
There's the big two, and then you basically have
the
baseball.
Sports.
Yeah, baseball, hockey, MLS. All lumped in together.
This will be a good transition into basketball. But, yeah, I mean, you could really start seeing around 94, basketball really kind of got a little bit more legs. Obviously, Kobe Bryant joined the league a little bit later after that.
I mean, the perfect storm of Jordan as well. Like,
yeah.
Absolute perfect storm. Baseball has the strike. The Bulls' prominence begins. A perfect storm.
Yeah. Last question is to C-Rad. As you know, in the chat, doing breaks, has anybody been talking about this baseball lockout and like what kind of are people still just chasing Wander? I mean, what are people doing in the chat with baseball?
In general, I think there's a few people obviously that are like, man, let's just hope we get some baseball back. You know, not really anything. I haven't really seen people too down in terms of cards in the hobby with baseball. You know, they're still buying in, they're still chasing who they're chasing, collecting for their teams and stuff. So not too much chatter about. Obviously, people are just sad about there's no season right now.
Yep. Let's transition into Ja Morant. Is Ja Morant the most exciting player in the NBA today?
I said number two.
Who's number one?
Steph Curry.
He's 10-12 his last 22. We need Draymond back, but
yeah,
I think he can be. I think he's a top five player in the league right now.
Ja,
like right now, I think he is.
I mean, yeah. I mean, look at these last 8 game stats. I mean, 34.4 points per game. He's 5 assists, almost 6 rebounds, 55% field goal rated career high 52 versus the Spurs. I mean, it's insane. So, I mean, that 18-19 class. People still are buying Zion. I mean, Josh should be double Zion prices. But we got a graph here courtesy of Card Ladder. And, Cody, let's digest this graph on some of the 5 big names in the hobby.
Yeah, so what you're looking at, if you can see it here, it's I know some of the numbers are a little small, but basically this is the last 3 months courtesy of Card Ladder comparing some of the most popular players among basketball collectors in the hobby. That includes LaMelo Ball, Luka Doncic, Zion Williamson, Trae Young, and Ja Morant. Basically, you're seeing Ja's kind of in the middle of the pack with those guys. He's the green line if you're watching us. His average value right now for his Silver Prism PSA 10, and that's for all of these guys, looking around $1,800 at the moment. Zion's at $1,500. Luka Doncic at about $2,797, LaMelo Ball at $2,759, although the pop count a lot lower for him right now.
Yep.
And Trae Young is below a grand. He's at $780.
That's your boy.
That feels like the best buy at the moment.
The best buy, and he I don't know why he is so undervalued in the hobby.
It's just the way he looks, man. I don't know what it is.
People don't
gravitate towards him. I think he's a great player.
I think it has to maybe him playing in Atlanta. I don't know, man. He
has to win a championship, I think. I mean, because whatever he's done, he should have seen an incline.
I think Trae Young is on the Knicks or Trae Young is on the Lakers, and like he is at the top of that list.
Mm.
But LaMelo Ball's on the Hornets.
But LaMelo Ball
is the Hornets better than the
he's got, I mean, but the he's LaMelo, got name brand. He's yeah, got LaMelo he's got Ball's the name got the, brand.
He's got the name and the way he plays a little bit more flash, a little bit more swagger to him. But Trae Young is gotta be a top 10 player in the league, right? Gotta be up there.
Is he better than Ja?
No, Ja right now is like a top 5. But I think
you said Trae Young top 10 point guard or top 10 player?
Top 10 player.
Player. Oh, yeah. That's tough.
I mean, he's
about that.
I mean, he's. You act like he's not even a starter on most teams. I mean,
he's the top 30.
I was gonna say top 15, top 20-ish, maybe players.
Dude, that the run he had in the playoffs. He at the end of last season, he was a top 10.
I mean, I like Trae Young a lot. I think in terms of flash and swagger, like I take
Trae Young over Zion Williamson.
I say Trae and LaMelo are the same. The only reason we know why LaMelo is so high is because of that pop count. It's like people just don't want to send them in for fear of not getting that PSA 10 or PSA 9, and it's because it's expensive now, right? Like people don't want to take that risk. So LaMelo's pop count definitely is helping his prices above these other guys right now. I say the buy for me is who we're talking about, John Morant, like right there in the middle. Out of all five of these guys, especially listening to the Draymond Green on the JJ Redick podcast a month ago, like John Morant is going to be like one of the best players in the NBA here pretty soon, like top three conversation.
Well, and I don't disagree with you there. I think what we're seeing is, I think we're seeing 3-point shooter fatigue, because nobody's going to beat Steph. Steph's done it. Those accolades have came. Trae Young shoots threes. He doesn't do what Ja Morant does with the ball. He doesn't go dunk in people's face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All those players shoot threes. They have to shoot threes.
All those other players do stuff on around the dish, too. Look at Anthony Edwards. I mean, Anthony Edwards still isn't, I wouldn't even compare him to any of these guys on this list, but just a few of the highlight moments he's had sells his cards. So you've got Ja Morant doing that. That sells his cards. You've got Luka has his space where he's fadeaway and he's, I mean, he just went over Dwight Howard last night, right? So you got him doing that. You've got, obviously the elusive stuff that Zion's done. And then you have Trae Young who's done none of that. So I think that's where it makes the most sense to me. Wow. Is that there's not.
It's like
Trae Young shoots good threes.
Doesn't it sound like Trae Young could be playing in your pickup basketball team? I'm gonna pick this guy, this guy, this guy. Okay, Trae, you'll be like the fourth or fifth pick in the gym.
Hey, I'm just saying how cards sell. I mean, and that's how I can this graph makes sense to me.
I think Trae does a lot more than just shoot threes. But again, I don't see that 3-point fatigue because all those guys you mentioned shoot threes. Anthony Edwards shoots threes. They all shoot threes. If you don't shoot threes right now, you will not be at that top tier of NBA talent.
I think the explanation,
everybody needs to shoot threes.
Does Pat Connaughton's card sell? Does JJ Redick's card
Joe
sell?
Harris.
JJ Redick isn't even
Does
a league
Joe
anymore.
Harris card sell?
We got Bojan Bogdanovic. Is that what you want to break him up to?
No, I'm just saying. Look at the 3-point guys. Those are 3-point guys. Was it?
Okay. You're comparing Trae Young to Pat Connaughton?
I think the explanation is way simpler.
A high-end Pat Connaughton, okay?
The explanation is way more simple. I think it's just as simple as, like, he had that incredible series where everyone was talking about him against the Knicks last year. The Hawks are just not a hot team right now. They've been a little underwhelming this year, whereas the Grizzlies have been one of the better stories of the season. Luka is still Luka. LaMelo and the Hornets look like they're for real. So there's just a lot of other things going on. And he will always, I think we've talked about before, he's always going to have that sort of second build, like, feel to him because he was in the same class as Luka, and until he can get to the finals and break the mold and get
true.
Past that, he's always going to be the guy in the same class
and
as Luka.
And I agree with that, but it's crazy that like Ja doesn't really have that with Zion. Zion doesn't really have that with Ja. Like, let's face it, what Zion has done on the court, he probably shouldn't even be on this chart.
And Zion's in the orange.
But Zion, his cards are still selling well. Like,
That just shows you how bad Trae Young's collectability is. If a guy that hasn't, the guy who has played less games than he's played outsells him still. So that there's people who are just like, y'all just take a chance on Zion because I'm tired of 3-pointers. I just don't want to see. It's like 20 3-pointers a game, 20 shots a game. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah. Wow. I somewhat agree with what you're saying, Doug. I think the flash of the 3-point, I think, is what you're saying. The flash of it, like oh my god, that's amazing. That's kind of worn off a little bit because Steph is just Steph and Klay honestly have just demolished. Like,
I mean, and even Dame, Dame does this stuff too, right?
Right.
But I get what you're saying. But I think it's because every player in the league is shooting threes.
Yeah.
Right.
So it really isn't. It isn't special to knock down a couple threes. When, I mean, I would like to see. Go back 10 years and see the amount of three-pointers that are attempted per game.
Oh, yeah.
And then look at the stats now. I bet it's like 3 to 4 times the amount of three-pointers are attempted per game than 10 years ago.
Well, and then you can go with the other side of the argument, and that's why, like, Larry Johnson, Grandmama, besides his dunk contests and stuff like that, doing what he did didn't sell cards because everybody was just dunking at Shaq, breaking rims. Now I think we've gotten away from the dunks. We do too many threes. So now you see a highlight dunk because back then it's like highlight dunk. You got NBA Jam going on and stuff. And now I think we've had a really lack of, like, those highlight dunks. We're seeing them, and they're helping the cards now. Was they weren't doing that before. It was the three-pointers.
We all saw that dunk contest and went, we can do better than this.
Luka.
Yeah.
That was, terrible. Why Ja and have any all those guys aren't dunks. In it? I don't get it. Yeah. No, no, but he did have that. He had like a putback the other night.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
But you're right,
I mean, you don't see Luka like posterizing anybody.
It's just that
what are you going to say
that
about
fade
that?
Away,
like, what does
that
he do?
Fadeaway shot.
Luka, the old fadeaway.
Luka has been anointed as
I'm telling
the
you, man, that
one.
The hook shot's coming back. The sky hook is coming back, and that's going to be what's really going to drive up the cards. The sky hook is coming back.
Invest in Kareem.
No, you know who I'm looking for next? The next Rick Barry granny shot, free throw guy.
Yeah. I think it was a combination of everything. Like I said, like what Doug is saying, the 3-point fatigue. What Cody was saying, the fact that he's on the Hawks and they're not really one of the marquee teams right now. It's in the East. There's so many good teams in the East right now that they're really on the bottom half of that in the East Coast. So yeah, I think combination of that, the rest of the guys, like you're saying, like it is crazy. The Zion is selling for more than Trey, and Zion has barely played any kind of game. But that also has to do with the fact that his hype is still carrying him after all these years, which is crazy.
Let's be the people who bought into the Zion hype at the peak.
They're not trying to sell it
like a 30, 40, 50% loss. Right.
Absolutely.
Makes sense. I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Yeah, I think I think I'm putting my money on Ja at this moment. Maybe Luka too. I mean, I know he's kind of high up there, but I don't know. He's a little bit more matured and a little bit more.
Doesn't play defense.
Yeah, well,
he doesn't look real athletic out there.
He doesn't. Yeah, I think my money's going with Ja.
I think Luka is actually in. It's the same boat. Like so many people bought at the peak that. They're just not going
to
sell.
You're right. And that's what basketball is. If you come out as a big name, it's almost hard to overcome if you're not a big name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As far as the hobby is concerned. If you're like the biggest name coming out the gate, like a Edwards, I think we talked about this last week, it's hard to overcome and be that guy that's like, even like Donovan Mitchell, like he never overcame, like he started to overcome Lonzo Ball, but he never overcame Jason Tatum, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But yeah, I think I'm going to grab some Ja Morant, maybe some Trae Young, you know. I mean, it's worth a go, and if they make a run and he does something like shoot a lot of threes, so maybe he'll start shooting from the logo.
That is the thing for Trae that I think maybe going into the playoffs is good, because did anybody expect the Hawks to have that run last year?
No, but apparently if he dunks more.
Are the Hawks even fighting for a playoff spot right now?
I think they're in that play-in conversation right now. But it should be mentioned, so are like the Hornets. Like, they're not that much better than
No, but
than Charlotte.
I will say this about the Hornets. If you listen to a lot of people who like just watch a lot of NBA games, they say that the Hornets are the most fun team to watch.
They're on the up and up.
Out of any of the teams in the NBA. Because of the way they play, it's like fast paced, it's like up and down, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people love to watch that type of basketball.
One last point with Ja is that I think also, like Luka, who has been sort of anointed as like by LeBron and by, you saw him in All-Star Weekend, Michael Jordan coming up to him and finding him, like, he has been, like, you are the one by these guys, I think. So that goes a long way. I think the same thing's happening for Ja, where people are talking about him. Did you see that tweet Allen Iverson had? He had the Ja Morant jersey over his former MVP trophy and said, one day this kid's going to get it. So I think he is having that same effect now, where now everybody's catching on because all these legends are saying, this guy's for real. Draymond saying that thing. So I think that's going to carry a ton of weight going into the playoffs and for his future hobby prospects, too.
I think next week we need to talk about Devin Booker because, you know, obviously first seed in the West, getting a lot more legs over that, almost locking it down. I mean, they're what, 7-8 games ahead of the Warriors now. Yep. So we should definitely look at his prices. I know he's been injured a little bit here and there, but, I mean, the Suns are just dominating all of basketball pretty much right now. So we should probably look into some of those guys and possibly talk about them on next week's
show. How
about
Ayton? He dunks.
He's too big.
Oh.
DeAndre Jordan? Lob City?
You got to be in the range of the 6'2 to 6'9.
Doug's all, he doesn't shoot threes.
For the counterpoint, yes.
He doesn't shoot threes. Doesn't
People
shoot
can't
threes.
Compare themselves to a 7-footer, okay? On the basketball court.
He can dunk, though.
But that's all we got for today's show. I also wanted to mention that we've got a bunch of Mojo sessions coming down the pipeline. We did a podcast with Larry from Live Case Break. We did a podcast with the two dudes from Real Breaks, Tom and Ryan. And we also have Jimmy from Dirt and Turf Sports Cards as well that we did while we were in Phoenix. So look out for those here on Mojo Break Media, along with the Josh Luber interview, which will be dropping here within the next week as well. Also, make sure you subscribe to us on Spotify or iTunes, wherever you listen to your audio podcast. Join a break at mojobreak.com. Grab a box from mojobreakshop.com, and we'll see you guys next week on The Hype.